We do have a little bit of time for question answer if any of you have questions. And if you don't, there are a couple of questions that I can suggest. Someone I know would like to know, is there a really good novel you could recommend that we could get to know a person who lives and loves like that? You want to read Persuasion by Jane Austen. Anne Elliot will become a dear friend and elder sister to you in the faith.
The only thing that keeps me going is I know God's sovereign. And He has made our paths the way He wants it.
Making the point that what keeps us going is that God is sovereign and He has made the path already before us. Yes.
Would you feel comfortable sharing with us a little bit of your breast cancer journey?
It was long. Fortunately, you know, I was going in regularly for checkups, so they caught it very early. So the outcome was extremely good. But even though, things are just never the same again after breast cancer. So, and one other thing that we found is that it seems, for a lot of couples, it seems harder on the husband than on the wife. It was so difficult for him to watch me go through something like that.
So, as you're going through this long, protracted time of difficulty, I'm sure that every time you would read some encouragement in the scripture, you would latch on to it tenaciously.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be a rejoicing as a result, because we make it our own, don't we? Mm-hmm. But did you always find that a refreshment, or did you get tired of that after a long, long period of time?
I never thought that sorrow and grief would be so long lasting. But it is amazing how God seems to use His body, or, you know, various congregations of His body, various ministers. And He was always encouraging somewhere. But, you know, even that bit where the angel strengthens Jesus, it didn't take His anguish away. I think that's, we need to be helping one another bear up through our troubles.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for teaching young children this concept that, you know, sorrow doesn't, you know, it doesn't impede on or speak poorly of God? And, you know.
How to teach children that sorrow, there is sorrow, but that it does not speak poorly of God. If we involve our children in our lives, and I mean, I'm sure there are some things that we need to shelter them from, but I remember taking our little 2-year-old to funeral of a minister in our area in St. Louis who was killed. He was young. He was killed in a climbing accident. You know, the church was in great grief. And, you know, our little children can sense that. And yet they're surrounded then by a church family who continues on and can continue faithfully serving God. I think it's more caught than taught. That's my guess. Do you know, one of the most difficult sorrows, I think, it's also exemplified in The Lord of the Rings, where, do you know that little villain Gollum, who has been pursuing Sam and Frodo their whole way? And Gollum is a being that can sin and can repent. So he's like us. He has been living in rebellion and wickedness for decades and decades and decades. But he's now in the company of Frodo and Sam. And Gollum is seeing the tenderness and pity in Frodo and the compassion that Frodo has for this pitiful Gollum. Sam is asleep and is very protective of his master Frodo. So Sam has been responding with caution towards Gollum, and with he'd like to get rid of him. But Sam is asleep at this one point where Gollum is kind of debating in himself and gets near to Frodo and sees Frodo sleeping, and you see Gollum softening and thinking that Frodo has always shown him kindness, and Gollum reaches out just to touch Frodo, and you can just see him softening. And Sam wakes up right then, and all he sees is Gollum close to Frodo. And Sam immediately snaps at him, is protective of Frodo, criticizes Gollum, beats him down, and you see Gollum harden. And that's the last bit in the book, the last part in the book where Gollum could have turned and repented. And he doesn't. And Jaron Bars was talking in class about how our memories are part of us and part of our identity. And when we go to heaven, you know, we have memories. And I stuck up my hand and I said, but Sam is going to understand that what he did prevented Gollum from repenting. And Gollum is damned. I said, what will that memory be like for Sam in heaven? And Jaron replied, a forgiven memory. Yeah. Any other things we should talk about? Yeah.
Okay, you said that there was a lot of providence that came about during these times too. And it happened through your brothers and sisters that you got to meet with. Are there any responses that you would call it were extra special that you could share with us, that people, when they reached out to you, or attitudes that were very helpful that we could keep in mind? And because it's easy for us to think everybody's fine when we're here, especially on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Anything that really stands out in your mind that could be an encouragement for us when someone's talking to us about difficulties?
Okay, so question, what are some of the most helpful ways of responding to someone who's experiencing the difficulties? We don't know that someone's circumstances are going to turn for the better. It was helpful to me that people didn't say things will turn out fine. And it's true, we don't know how they're going to turn out. We know that God will bring about his glory in the long term. for people to acknowledge and share my pain has been very helpful. For people to share with me their pain has also been helpful. I remember meeting at one of these conferences that Jack was at, and us spouses could go. And I remember meeting a professor that I didn't know. And he said something apologetically about his family as we were just chatting, small chat. And I realized I did not think any less of him for the problems that he had just shared were in his family. On the contrary, I felt compassion for him. And I thought, that's how people respond to me. You know, I can be, I can be part of a community where we all understand that we are imperfect and that things don't always turn out right, that there are griefs and sorrows and sins, and we all acknowledge that and are not judging each other for that. That's been very helpful. But it almost took me seeing it in reverse with meeting this other fellow for me to realize that myself.
Helpful to realize that we may never see that resolution in the long term that God has.
Making the point that we may never see that resolution in the long term. And that's true, because we do not know God's plan. And yeah, we often have to, I think, give up our expectations of how things might be, could be, should be, because that might not be God's plan. And yet we can rest and trust knowing that God knows everything better than I do. God is all-powerful. God created us. God has placed his love on us, and it is on us faithfully. His love is steadfast. He loves those we love more than we do. So we can trust him, even though we don't know fully. We may never be able to tell what he's doing. But what he's revealed to us is enough of himself that we know he's unchanging and that he will always be with us through whatever it is that he's bringing us through. That thing in Isaiah where... I will lead the blind in a way they do not know. I mean, we don't know, but he will lead us.
Somebody has said, nothing comes to us except that it's sieved through God's love first. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The comment that someone has said that nothing comes to us except that it is sieved through God's love for us. Yes.
When I think about these things, I often, maybe because I get confused about faith and expectations and how to recognize my expectations and to surrender them, and believe and trust God. If you have thoughts about belief, trust, and expectations and that tension.
Okay, the difference between expectations and faith, where we need to lay aside our expectations.
How to recognize their expectations.
Yeah, telling the difference between the two, so that if something is simply an expectation of ours, that we're not We're not told that we're necessarily going to have that. And yet, at the same time, holding faith and trust in God, we're always on solid ground when we trust that God is who He revealed Himself to be. And there's that bit in Matthew, you know, come to me, those of you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. We may still have the sorrow, but we can find rest in God. We can trust Him that He's always there. The things that He's revealed to us about Himself, we can always trust fully in. It's those things about how our life stories work out that's where the expectations come in, that we need to leave to God. Yes.
If you had your phases that you could say, Diane's phases of sorrow, how would you outline that?
Oh boy. How would I outline phases of sorrow that I've gone through? Boy, I don't know. There are times when it just seems debilitating, and there's times of prayer with hardly knowing how to pray. Those seem to be the times when my brothers and sisters in Christ are both there and necessary to help carry me. Because there are times when it seems dark. And yet, I know how in the Bible, in the narrative sections, people are always told to remember, remember, remember. And then it points out God's faithfulness in the past. And it seems like that's part of what helps. That not only in our past, but those people around us that are being upheld by God are an encouragement to us. So there's sometimes when we simply need that strength that God brings us, particularly in our gathering for worship. It was so often that it would be kind of a long time between Sunday and Sunday, you know, between these Sundays. And getting, again, to hear preaching, to sing hymns, and it makes so much more of a difference to sing hymns with everyone than to sing the hymns on my own. I mean, I've got a couple of hymns plastered on my bathroom mirror, but it's different when I come in the congregation and we're led and we're all singing, and I know that people are struggling with me as well, and they're singing it too. I don't know that I could define exact phases or anything like that, because it's so dependent on what is actually going on. But there have been times of more encouragement and times of more discouragement. I just had no idea it could be such a long process. Any other thoughts or questions? Let me just tell you, this church has been so much of a blessing to me and my family. Even since our kids have never been members of this church, because we were gone before our kids came along, but our kids, now they're grown, they're in their 20s, but they feel loved and accepted here. It's just amazing. So we appreciate and feel a part of, like, this is our church home. So thank you.